Praise God. This is Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, April the 21st, 2019. And this is a teaching. It's called Behold, I Am Doing a New Thing. It kind of flows from the first teaching to the word, Prophet's Corner word I just gave, and then everything kind of flows together. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Okay, Isaiah. Verse 18. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Lord said here, He wants to do a new thing in you, but you are going to have to let go of how you've always done it. We are, what the renewing of the mind does, you let go of your natural, carnal, evil way of thinking to God's thinking. That's the process we've been going through, and that's the process we will be going through until He comes, or we got to be with Him. That's just part of the process. It's through this process that we will come to know His will. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. So you can know His good, perfect, acceptable will. Even what's good and perfect and acceptable in His sight for you. There's the purpose. The reason we see so much confusion, even in the church, you still got people that are never Trumpers and they're just so messed up in their mind about things, and it's because they have not renewed their mind. How can God do a new thing if they won't do the first thing that He has told them to do? That's something you have to submit yourselves, it says, as a living sacrifice. That is something that you have to do. God is not going to knock you down and make you renew your mind. You decide, it says, make a decisive dedication of your body as a living sacrifice. Okay, Isaiah 55. This is what He wants to do. Verse 6 says, seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There's the key right there. The unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. At the fall, man's thoughts left the Lord's thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have love, pity, and mercy for him and our God, for He will multiply to him His abundant pardon. The Lord says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is where God wants us to go with our thinking. Right here. For you shall go out from spiritual exile caused by sin and evil into the homeland with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. He told Adam, the ground is just going to produce briars and thistles. Curse. He wants, instead of that curse working in your life, It will come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar, it shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign, a memorial, which shall not be cut off. So he wants our thinking processes to be in line with his thoughts so that we can have things when we speak, they come. They don't fall to the ground. They don't return void, but we speak to briar patches and thorns and what comes? The answer. Barren places in our life that we've dealt with, we've struggled with. It's just a thought away. The answer is just a thought away. A God thought away. I remember when I first started teaching, I remember buying everybody this little book, and you might have even been there then, and it was God thoughts. You know, we wrote down scriptures. These are our God thoughts about things. God has a thought about everything that's a negative in your life. It's all in his word. And if we'll be convinced, instead of briars and thistles and curse and thorns, it'll come up myrtle trees. Okay. Areas where you have been stumped and unproductive, he wants to make spring forth. No more barren places in your life. Remember a few weeks ago when the Lord said, "Let me lead and stop trying to lead me"? What is happening here? Your strongholds are leading you. A dog returns to the vomit, Peter said, and the sow that's been washed to the wallow. This is a double-minded man. Okay, that's 2 Peter 2:20. God is speaking, and he is taking the lead, but old ways and old thinking gets in the way. When he leads, what happens? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside green pastures, beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The Lord is wanting you to perceive what he is doing. Okay, Isaiah 60. Verse 1. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It says here, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. And all nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Peter talks about until the day star rises in your heart. He's talking about revelation knowledge of God and his word that changes things. Danny and I were talking about this, and it's true. What he was saying is that when you finally see it God's way, it's over. Anytime I've received healing, like it's like all of a sudden I had a peace and I saw it God's way, problem gone. All right, Isaiah 65. Verse 2. Well, let's do verse 1. I was ready to be inquired of by those who asked not. I was ready to be found by those who sought me not. I said, here I am. Here I am, says I am, to a nation, Israel, that has not called on my name. I have spread out my hands all the day long to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. We see people perishing all around us with the same plight. But if I just had more money, or if I just had this change, everything would be all right. No. If you just get that mind renewed. He's telling you right here, it's your thoughts. After their own thoughts. Okay, Malachi 4, 2. But unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and his beams, and you shall go forth and gamble like calves from the stall and leap for joy. I saw a little horse one day when I was on 52nd. The mama was out there, and little thing, but oh, frisky. He was running, and he just come up to the fence, just stop real short like that. You know, they're just like this, like they're just so full of life and full of energy. One time I was at the vet, and they had three lambs. No, were they goats or lambs? Goats, three little goats. They were going bananas all over that place. It's like spider monkeys. I'm thinking, that's like calves from the stall. Frisky and full of life and carefree. And that's what God wants for us. Okay. The Lord's had me bring this for a couple of weeks, but we're going to bring it again. This is Matthew 15. But I want to look at it at a little different angle, not so much the food part of it, but the thought part of it. Was it last week that I taught on, are your thoughts defiling you or something like that? I think it was, yeah. Verse 10 says, and Jesus called the people to him and said to them, listen and grasp and comprehend this. It is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth, this makes a man unclean and defiles. Verse 17, do you not see and understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the abdomen and so passes on into the place where discharges are deposited? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Now, the heart is the production center, the parable of the sower. This is where the seed is sown. This is where the issue of life comes out of your heart. This is where production in the kingdom of God, it comes out of your heart. He's talking about eating is no big thing. It's in and out. It's like fuel. It's like sticking the nozzle in your car and putting fuel in so you can drive your car. He's trying to get them to talk about their evil thinking, their thought processes. All right. But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Far from the heart, and this is what makes a man unclean and defiles. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. I hope you're getting that connection. Such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, irreverent speech. These are what make a man unclean and defiled, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean or defiled. If somebody's sick, it's not by changing their diet that's going to get them well. It's by changing their thoughts. Okay. Mark 7. I don't have it marked in this Bible. Second. Okay, verse 15. There's not one thing outside a man which by going into him can pollute and defile him, but the things which come out of a man are what defile him and make him unhallowed and unclean. Verse 18. And he said to them, then are you also unintelligent and dull and without understanding? Do you not discern and see that whatever goes into a man from the outside cannot make him unclean or unhallowed or unclean, since it does not reach and enter his heart? It doesn't reach where life center is, where production center is. It goes in, it's processed, and out it goes. Since it does not reach and enter his heart, but the digestive tract, and so passes on. Thus he was declaring all foods clean. Now you see why the devil, why the commercials, the propaganda that we've been under is all about self-improvement, all about eating right and doing all these things. He's just robbing people blind. Because it all is not worth a hill of beans. It's making somebody rich. So you'll be so convinced that it's this way, and you will never think, well, I need to watch my mouth and my thinking processes. Jesus said adultery is committed in the mind first. He said, if you're thinking that way in your mind, you've already done it. See? Satan don't want us to know. He doesn't want us to realize, especially the church, they're a sick bunch of folks, and they're getting sicker every day. Recently, I've been around a few that were so nearly unbearable to be around. They were so negative in this area. I just think, how can they not see? And the Lord said, well, you were that way once too. I said, yes, I know. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. But see, if the devil can convince them, and so they're going to believe anything that they say, then it will defile them, because the devil knows, he knows that we're believing, speaking just like God, because he watched God do it. He tried to speak that himself about being over God, but it don't work for him. He's angel class. We're God class. We can speak just like God and change our circumstances. It's about your thoughts. Okay, 2 Timothy. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing the word of truth. But avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their teaching will devour it, will eat its way like cancer or spread like gangrene. Right there. Avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk. Hey, there's the mainstream media right there. It will go into more and more ungodliness. They are spewing Satan's narrative. But it isn't just them. It's been going on since the fall, you understand? Yeah. You may be saying, when God win, and the Lord is saying, why? Why? In other words, why haven't you done what the Word says you're supposed to do? You're asking the Lord, when, Lord, when are you going to do this? And he's saying, why? Why haven't you renewed your mind? Why haven't you done what I said? Okay, Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock? It's talking about a stronghold there. The only thing that can bring down these strongholds of the enemy is the hammer of God's word. Breaks it like a hammer on a rock. We must not let our old ways take the lead over God's ways. Well, I've always done it this way. God speaks to us something and our minds kick in trying to figure it all out, and we miss out completely on the new wonderful thing God has for us. Lord says, I'm just going to start doing a new thing in your life. And we go on trying to start researching or whatever it is we do, how we handle things. And before you know it, we've got ourselves all in it. We've let that stronghold take the lead instead of just waiting on the Lord. I remember something Mike Murdoch said. I've quoted it many times, and I'll probably quote it many more times. He said, hear his command, but wait for the plan. It's like David said, well, Lord, the Philistines are here again. What am I going to do? He inquired of the Lord again. Every bunch of Philistines, he inquired of the Lord again. He didn't say, well, I beat them this way last time. I'll beat them the same way this time. No. God changed it on him. The methods. Oh. Lord, deliver us from this. Paul said, oh, deliver me, Lord. I want to do good, but evil's ever present with me. Okay, let me read that again. God speaks to us something and our minds kick in trying to figure it all out, and we miss out completely on the new wonderful thing God has for us. He's wanting us to wait on him and hear what he'd have us do. Okay, Lord, you've said this, so what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? Wait. Hear. Okay, James 1. Understand, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, slow to get angry, for man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness, and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word. Obey the message and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. So, he wants us to learn to listen, be a good listener. Isaiah 40 talks about that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God graces what he asks you to do. You understand that? You know, so much of the time people get a word from God and they bail out there in the natural and start doing stuff and it falls apart. And then they blame God and they get totally out of God's will. A lot of them never come back to God's will because they didn't wait long enough to find out, what does he want me to do? What's your plan for this, Lord? If he's called you to do something, he's got a plan to do it. If he's asking you to do something. And the thing about it, when you wait and get his plan and move with him, then grace comes along to help you do it. All right, Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. To keep doing the same things over and over and expecting different results is what? Come on, insanity. Pray this way, Lord, may my ways become your ways and my thoughts your thoughts. Say that. Lord, may my ways become your ways and my thoughts your thoughts. And then we can speak and our words won't return void. They'll be just like God's words. Okay, Psalms 40. Seven and eight. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. That's what Jesus said. Hebrews 10:7. It's the same thing. Then I said, behold, here I am coming to do your will, O God, what is written of me in the volume of the book. All right, then Matthew 26, when Jesus was praying, he was in the garden. He said, Lord, if it's possible that this cup would pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. If you're struggling today, maybe you should take a step back and find out if this was God's will or your will. Where God places us, He graces us. Just saying. Many have shipwrecked because they heard God say something. They heard the command, but they didn't wait for the plan. Timing. Timing. Get specifics. It will be safe. It will save you a lot of frustration and pain. This is about a spirit walk. Spirit walk. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, not those that hear something and just bail out and do stuff because they think. Okay, this is a big one, Ephesians 4. Better look at it if it's a big one. 4:26. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath last until the sun goes down. Leave no room or foothold for the devil. Okay, that's all. Yeah, the Lord wanted me to touch on this. Okay. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 10 right quick, verse 8. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a fence or a wall, a serpent will bite him. So when we let our guard down and we are in strife, what happens? The hedge of protection's broken down, and that's when the snake can come through. That may be the problem. You may be having some problems and you wonder why you're having so many symptoms and so many problems. Maybe that's it. Because who brings symptoms? Satan. Satan. We got to get along with people. We have to walk, stay out of strife, because it will absolutely... Well, it's the devil's tool. Strife tears things up. Okay. Jesus, chapter 10. I don't know what chapter that is, but it's Jesus, chapter 10. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 6, we see... In that chapter, and I brought this up before, in that chapter we see it starting out with children obeying their parents, and you see the chain of command, you see servants and their masters, you see it go on down, and then it runs into verse 10 about being strong in the Lord and the power of His might, putting on the whole armor of God. So if we're not in the right perspective, if we're not in honor and respect, and things are being... the devil's being kept out, then we're not going to be able to pick up and use our armor. No way. Okay. Satan brings destruction, no peace, no joy, everything bad. But power is a result of keeping the devil out. We've got to keep, you know, the protection in the home with the children, the husband, the wife, our bosses, however the chain of command is, authority for our leaders, when that's all in line, then we are armed. And then we're successful when we do battle. Just read it this week. See what I'm saying? Okay. Are you thinking evil in your minds about things? That's the devil's playground. Evil thoughts. We've been talking about evil thoughts, haven't we? Strife. You think... You know best, and you resent the one in authority. I said, Lord, I got to watch this one, especially with some of the leaders that we have. Lord, help us not to get on the wrong side of that and badmouth them. I'm trying really hard I try not to listen to them, and that way then I don't catch myself saying stuff I shouldn't say about them. But thinking, Lord, help that poor, poor soul. They need you. We're told to pray for our leaders, okay? Don't harbor ill will. Handle strife the kingdom way, not the human way. The human way is war. Kingdom way is peace. Don't harbor it, handle it. Here's what harbor means: to have and retain a bad feeling of some kind towards someone or something. I think it's like if you brood on something for several days, you're meditating. Okay, let's look at a few problems here. I mean, through scriptures here. In Jesus, chapter 10. Okay, don't harbor, handle it. Let's look at some, this is like Luke 17. You can pray and pray and pray for somebody all you want for protection and different things, but if your household's in strife, you got a problem. Your hedge is broken down. Guess who comes to the hedge? Satan, the devil. The serpent can bite when the hedge is broken down. Luke 17:3. Pay attention and always be on your guard. If your brother sins, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns you to seven times and say, I repent, you must forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Yeah. Colossians 3. Verse 13. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. If one has a difference against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also. Okay. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with a bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So he's talking about staying in peace. Peace means shalom. What does shalom mean? Nothing missing, nothing broken. When you're in strife, there's not any peace. Not possible. Okay, Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and resentment and quarreling and slander be banished from you with all malice, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, Matthew 18. Verse 15, if your brother wrongs you, go and show him his fault between you and him privately. If he listens to you, you've won you back your brother. But if he does not listen, take along with you one or two others, so that every word may be confirmed and upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. This is very important because we've seen churches split. So if it's where, if they don't make it right, then let's get the elders involved. We're not going to have this in the body. Okay. All right. I want to read this to you. This is Joyce Meyer's Life Without Strife. Exposing strife. The spirit of strife has an assignment from hell to bring destruction everywhere it goes. We cannot see this spirit, but we can certainly learn to recognize the symptoms of its presence. I believe strife is bickering, arguing, heated disagreement, or an angry undercurrent. The dictionary defines strife as fighting, heated, often violent, conflict, bitter dissension, a struggle between rivals, or contention. Other descriptive words that identify strife are quarrel, rivalry, wrangling, debate, provocation, and factions. Many people live in destruction due to a spirit of strife, but they do not recognize it as the root of their problems. Some believe the devil is behind the destruction, but they are unaware that they provide access for Satan through the door they're holding open for him. A gentleman who attended my conferences regularly for many years related an incident to me that will help you see the danger of strife. One evening, this man and his wife had a heated argument. As bedtime approached, the Holy Spirit prompted the man to make peace with his wife. He was reminded of the scripture verse that says, "We are not to let the sun set on our anger." That's Ephesians 4:26. He knew the right thing to do, but his fleshly stubbornness and pride was pressing hard in an attempt to prevent him from doing so. He tossed and turned, unable to sleep. Around 2 a.m. that morning, the Lord spoke to him and said, "I'm going to show you what you've allowed to enter into your house." In a vision, the man saw a large, fierce demon spirit wearing heavy armor. The man could see each piece of the armor and understand its symbolic meaning. The spirit wore the helmet of pride, the breastplate of unrighteousness. He carried a sword of bitterness and a shield of hatred. From his belt hung a hammer of judgment. He wore a cloak of deception, and his feet were shod with boots of anger. He entered speaking forth lies. Strife opens the door for all kinds of problems. James says, "For wherever there is jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices." So here's the demon she saw, or he saw. Right here. The root problem: pride, unrighteousness, bitterness, hate, judgment, deception, anger, and lies. Could this be what's in the way of maybe some answers? Could this be the struggle you've had for so many years? Could it be, possibly? Strongholds. It says to not let the sun go down upon your wrath. I want to read that one. This is Ephesians. Well, that's just the way I handle things. No, it says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I'm saying you need to get that kind of stuff under the blood immediately. Ephesians 4:26. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, aspiration, your fury, your indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Okay. We must be renewed to handling things the kingdom way if we want to see kingdom results. Well, that's just the way I do things. Yeah? How's that working out? Well, you're dead. Who cares what you think? Who cares what I think? This is what the Lord said. Well, you're dead. Your new real life is in Jesus and in his way of doing things. Change your mind for the better. Put on the mind of Christ. Okay, Philippians. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. A lot of the way we act is pride. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, and that he became like men and was born a human being. So Jesus, when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. I'm telling you, strife is a killer, and it will absolutely sabotage everything in your life. So with that, I think that's going to be all for today.